Sportscast, October 4th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This show is brought to you by InstaBible. Read your Bible on your iPhone. Major League Baseball playoffs are underway. Will the Yankees prevail? Will the Dodgers dominate as usual? To join us on the Sportscast, Mr. Kailu Borden, welcome back.
Thank you.
Kailu, it's been 2 weeks, but it feels like a year.
Sure, definitely.
But these past 2 weeks, Major League Baseball playoffs have started. The wild card is done. Tampa Bay and the Nationals got through. What are your thoughts so far?
I think the plus has been extremely great, especially going back to the Nationals and having that moment in which Max Scherzer struggled through the first two innings. I feel like he did a good job in the next three innings. I feel like he did a great job. He struggled in the first two innings. I just felt like he was a little too amped in the first two innings. He got it going in the next three. He was able to grind. He obviously didn't have his best stuff, but he was able to grind through it against a tough Milwaukee team. He was able to grind through it. Strasburg was tremendous in relief. I feel like his changeup was exceptional relief. Daniel Hudson, their closer, did a terrific job. And obviously Juan Soto, who I've been high on for a while. He's 20, has a lot of poise in that two-run single. And obviously the right fielder committed, Eric Grisham. I think that was, unfortunate because that would have been the same spot Christian Yelich was in, and it just sucks because that he's got to carry that into the offseason. And Christian Yelich, obviously is injured, and he would have been in that position. And in terms of the AL side of things, I think it's been fun. I think obviously Oakland and Tampa was a very good matchup coming into the game. I felt like Oakland would really win because they're at home. But Tampa Bay was able to go on the road, hit some homers. So that has been, really good for them.
Let's preview the ALDS and the LLDS. This is my first time previewing a Major League Baseball playoff tournament. Let's go for Tampa and Houston. What do you expect out of that series?
Obviously, it's going on right now. So what I expect from that series, I expect it to be a really good matchup. I think, obviously, Houston's going to win because I think their lineup is stronger with Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, who's second-best player in the American League behind only Mike Trout. I think Houston's going to prevail, but I think it's going to be a close series. But I think Houston's just stronger. They're deeper. They're more talented. They're more experienced. Obviously, they've won the World Series before, so I think they'll prevail. I give a tremendous amount of credit to the Tampa Bay Rays, obviously competing in division with the Boston Red Sox, who missed the playoffs, but they won a championship last year. Competing in the division with the Yankees is tough, so I give the Rays a tremendous amount of credit for that. But I think Houston is just stronger. They have three aces on their staff, Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, and Zach Greinke, three number one starters. They have two Cy Young pitchers. They have a deep lineup. They have a great manager. They have a great front office in Jeff Luno. They have great ownership. I think definitely Houston's going to win this series, and I think they look to wrap it up in four. I could see the Rays winning a possible game in Tampa. I think Houston will win both two games at home, and I think it's bound for a collision course between the Yankees and Astros. I'm not overlooking the Twins, but I think that both teams are strong enough, and I think both teams are going to collide.
Before we get there, what do you see in the Yankees and Twins? How far can the Twins take the Yankees till?
I think it's also going to go four games because I could see the Yankees winning both two games at home. The Yankees haven't lost back-to-back home games since April 12th. The Yankees this year at home has been exceptional. They're 57-24. The Yankees won 103 games this year. The Yankees have owned the Twins in the past. So I can definitely see the Yankees winning this year in four. I think James Paxton is 10-0 in his last 10 starts. He's been pitching tremendous since August. He's really learned how to use more of his pitches instead of just going to his fastball. He's really mixed it up with his curveball. I think that's helped him a tremendous amount, learn how to use a variety of his two-bank. So I think that's definitely going to help us. I think the Minnesota Twins are strong in the first two starters, but after that, there's a drop-off. I know both teams hit a lot of homers. I think that's going to calm down. I still think there's going to be a lot of homers, but I think it's going to be more of 5-3 and not 8-5 like we saw back in Minnesota. Because if you remember that series, the Yankees were using relievers that they're not going to typically use in the playoffs. And also that series, in a long baseball season, there tends to be outliers in what you do. Like, one series may not necessarily, like, affect the postseason. What I mean is that, you know, in the playoffs, you're a lot more quicker to remove guys. And in the regular season, I feel like Aaron Boone, because we're in such a tough stretch, he had to play the cards that he was dealt.
Let's go into the national side of things. Dodgers are up 1-0 in the series against the Nationals. What do you see in this series? Do the Nationals have a shot, or the Dodgers are just going to perhaps sweep them?
I think the Nationals are so tempting. And this happens to me every year. The Nationals are so tempting because their playoff struggles are well documented. The Nationals' playoff struggles are well documented. They always lose in the NLDS. But they're so tempting because the Nationals have three number ones: Scherzer, Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin. And Patrick Corbin was great last night, but he was only outdueled by Walker Buehler, who was sensational. Walker Buehler, six innings last night, eight strikeouts. He was sensational last night. I feel like he did a really good job in a fifth and sixth inning. You saw he was really dominant. And I had tweeted something. He's not the Dodgers' best starter, not the Dodgers' most accomplished, not having the best year. But from a stealth standpoint, from a poise standpoint, from a big game pitcher standpoint, and from a youth standpoint, Walker Buehler is the best starter on the Dodgers. He's just sensational. And I feel bad for Dave Martinez, because if it wasn't for their bullpen, the Nationals have more of a shot in this series. Their starting pitching could go 1-3 with the Dodgers. Ryu, Kershaw, and Buehler, the Dodgers can go, you know, head-to-head with the Nationals. But the Nationals bullpen gave four runs again last night. Patrick Corbin was solid, but the Dodgers had a game plan. Patrick Corbin threw 31 pitches in the first inning, and I felt like that set the tone. Their game plan is to work his pitch count and get the Nationals bullpen in the game. And when the Nationals bullpen comes in the game, they've really struggled all year. And I just think that's why the series is only going to go four. As much as I want to flirt with the series and pick it in five, I picked the Dodgers in four because of that factor of the bullpen. And even when their starters go seven innings, their bullpen doesn't even pitch that much, but it still can't do the job. That's why this series will be over in four, as much as I like the Nationals.
St. Louis, Atlanta Braves. St. Louis is up 1-0 in the series. Will St. Louis follow through?
I think this series is going to be the most underrated series, because I think this series has the chance to go to distance. I actually think this series might go to distance. Atlanta has now lost nine straight game ones. They have now not led a postseason series in 30 straight games. It's the longest in MLB history. And obviously they had the injury with Chris Martin when he was warming up in eighth inning, and that forced them to lose their closer, Luke Jackson. The Braves were 1 of 11 runs in scoring position. And I felt as though it was a really good game. I felt like Miles Mikolas from the Cardinals pitched really well, five innings, two strikeouts. Marcell Ozuna was very clutch. Obviously, Paul Goldschmidt hit the home run. He's really good in the playoffs. Dallas Keuchel is very solid. They were, you know, bit by their bullpen again. Obviously, they suffered an injury with Chris Martin. We'll see what happens with that if you have to put him on injury list. The Major League Baseball rule is he can't pitch in the next series, so if they advance, that should be a factor. Freddie Freeman was terrific last night. We had the situation with Ronald Acuna. He's got to hustle. I think Ronald Acuna could be an MVP candidate as soon as next year, but he's got to hustle. It's a 3-1 game. You got to find a way to try to get the extra run, especially in Major League Baseball, where you get to the late portions of the game. Like, you may not think the run is important, but you should have been at second base with the double. I think that having the opportunity to possibly tack on an additional run, especially in the playoff environment, especially trying to go up 1-0, considering if you prior lost eight straight games in game one. So I think definitely considering that, he should definitely hustle. And it's not like it was his first time doing it. He's a really good kid. He's great. He's an MVP. But he's got to figure out a way to hustle. And because those runs in the playoffs, every opportunity I've always said, like I said with the Yankees, you got to maximize every opportunity in the playoffs because you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get.
And Kailu has St. Louis and how many games?
I actually think the Braves are going to win the series. I think the Braves are going to win the series, but I think if the Braves win the series, it's going to go to distance because I think they still have Mike Soroka, who's one of their most impressive rookies, still going. So I think the Braves can win the series, but I could also see the Cards win the series, but I'm going to pick the Braves. I've been with the Braves all year. I think the Braves are a great team. They have a great foundation. Ronald Acuna is an MVP candidate, even though as soon as next year, he's 21. He almost had a 40-40 season this year, 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases. I think he's great. Freddie Freeman is one of the most underappreciated stars in the game of Major League Baseball. You have Josh Donaldson, who came over from the Blue Jays. You have a solid manager in Brian Snicker. You have a better bullpen in Luke Jackson. And you also made trades for Chris Martin. You have Shane Green, who came over from the Tigers, who's trying to help them. You have Dallas Keuchel, who pitched really well. I think the key for the Braves is going to be they have to obviously win game two. And I didn't think they're going to possibly steal a game on the road. And I still think that they can win this series.
There you have it. Atlanta is predicted by Kailu to go to NLCS. Let's stick with the National League. Is this a Dodger given they're going to win the National League?
I think yes. I think the Dodgers are just deeper. I think the Dodgers, the kid Gavin Lux hit a home run. I mean, literally pitch hitting. I think the Dodgers are loaded. You got Corey Seager. You got an MVP candidate and Cody Bellinger. Walker Buehler was, again, tremendous last night. Fewest hits allowed in a Dodgers postseason game. The Nationals only had two hits last night. They did Walker Buehler did a tremendous job in that inning. He's now had, you know, a bunch of playoff starts in which he's done well. He had last year he pitched in game 163. He pitched well last year against the Brewers. So I think that the Dodgers are definitely should be the favorites to win. Anything can happen because it's baseball short series, 5-game, 7-game. But I definitely think it should be the favorite. They have three number ones, Kershaw, Ryu, and Buehler. You have a great lineup in Seager, Bellinger, Max Muncy was terrific last night. So I definitely think they have a deep lineup. They have the catcher, Will Smith, who's great. They have a good manager. You have a good lineup. You have good pitching. You have a solid bullpen to be able to get you through. Their bullpen's not great. Their ERA says they're great, but they blow a lot of saves. Kenley Jansen's not having as great of a year he had last year. He's still good, but he's not great. But I definitely think with the combination of their lineup, their experience, and their pitching, they should definitely be the favorite in NL, and I have them in the World Series.
Let's go to the American League. As of course, a month ago, we talked about the Yankees and Houston, and you say Houston's way better. It's better than the Yankees. Do you still think the same?
Do I still think that Houston's better than the Yankees?
Yeah.
I don't think Houston's better than the Yankees. I think it's very close. I think it's going to come down another 7-game series like it was 2 years ago. I think both teams are very, very strong. Both teams are very, very deep. The Yankees are deep. Houston's deep. We got Edwin. I think they have three number ones. I think the Yankees, a lot of people talk about the Yankees starters. I think the Yankees don't ask a lot from their starters. I think if their starters are able to get them 15 outs, which the downside of that is that your relievers like Ottavino, Canely, Chapman, Britton, all going to have to be on and use more pitchers. So you have to hope they're all on. It would be better if you have like a Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. But I've always said in the playoffs, you can be unconventional, especially when the games are lined up where you have Friday, you have Saturday, and then you have an off day. So the playoffs allows the Yankees to line their bullpen up, their own team in Major League Baseball this year, to not use a reliever 3 straight days. That definitely thinks things are lined up for them. They can possibly get 15 outs from their starters if their starters can get out to strong first innings, which has always been a bugaboo, even though James Paxton has been better of late in the first inning. I think we definitely match up with them. I think it's a collision course. I think both teams have deep lineups. They have good managers, good analytical staff behind the scenes, people that crunch the numbers. I think it's definitely going to be a really tight series. I think it's going to come down to base running and the typical stuff. Who makes more plays, who hits more in the clutch, who pitches better, you know, those things.
Definitely we'll be eyeing on the Major League Baseball playoffs throughout the next month. And, of course, Kailu is definitely be following along. So do you think it might be Yankees and Dodgers for the World Series?
I definitely want it to be because I'm a Yankee fan. So, of course, I want to get the 28th ring. It hasn't happened since 2009. But I think that Yankees-Houston is going to be – Yankees-Houston actually scares me. Let's say both teams get past Twins. If we get past the Twins, assume that. I think Yankees-Astros, actually, believe it or not, scares me more than Yankees-Dodgers because I know it's a 3-game set, but I think the Yankees would hit better off the Dodgers with you because they're bullpen. And I also think with the Dodgers, there's that stigma of, like, of the 30 years that they haven't won in 30 years. And I also think playing in Houston – I think Houston is more of a favorable home crowd than playing in L.A. because L.A. fans don't really – they don't show – not saying they don't show a lot of support to their team, but there's always that sense of calm about L.A. So I definitely think the Yankees could go into L.A. and win a road game faster than they would win in Houston. So I definitely think that Houston scares me more than the Dodgers would scare me in the playoffs.
There you have it. Kailu is definitely behind Major League Baseball. And, of course, we'll be following a little bit more throughout when the series is starting to unravel. We'll see who is the toughest, who is the meanest. And, of course, the World Series is before our eyes in any moment. Anyways, let's switch to college football, the Big 12. Oklahoma still dominating, Kailu. They're number 5 in the AP top 20. Number 6 in the AP top 25. Can Oklahoma make it to the top 4?
I think Oklahoma can make it to the top 4. Like I said before, like power rankings, like during the season, like they're subject to change. So, you know, when the selection committee comes, like that's when I really get concerned. Like I really like think, like last year, I think power rankings are subject to change. Obviously, I feel like Clemson really struggled last week. I feel like the committee, I know it's a weekly ranking and I don't like getting on the committee, but I feel like Alabama should have been number 1. They should have moved Georgia up to 2. Clemson should have been 3 and they should have put Ohio State. I was really impressed with Justin Fields last week. I thought he did a tremendous job. I feel like they should have moved Clemson down because the fact is Mack Brown called a timeout to stop their chance. They were in really good field position in the red zone. Mack Brown called timeout, and I feel like one of the worst things as a coach is you don't want to kill momentum. If a team is driving and they just get a big play and you allow the defense to get some fresh bodies on the field, I think that does a disservice to your team because you're essentially allowing the other team to catch a breather, especially when you're catching them up-tempo and you're catching things. And he should have went for the extra point because you don't really have a good running quarterback and you decide to do what you do. But I think that Oklahoma could definitely get in the top 4, to answer your question. Jalen Hurts has been nothing short than tremendous. I really think he's improved as a passer. I think Lincoln Riley has definitely catered to more of his strengths. I think being a senior, obviously we expect a lot from our freshmen. But I think he's really been able to really grow as a quarterback over the course of the last 3 years. I think Lincoln Riley's helped him. I also think he's put the work in himself. So I definitely think Oklahoma could get in the top 4. I think our defense has done a much better job at tackling, which I'm so proud of us. We'll see because OU really hasn't been tested yet. We haven't really played any tough ranked opponents. So we'll see when we face Texas on, I believe, October 12th. We'll see when we face Texas. That's going to be a huge game for me to see where our defense is at. But I'm not really shocked with Jalen Hurts because it's Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley is a tremendous offensive coordinator, guru. He was a tremendous offensive guru, and he's now the head coach. So I think our offense is going to be great. It's the Big 12. He put up a lot of numbers in the Big 12. Jalen Hurts has a lot of experience. He won the championship at Alabama. I think it's going to be all about OU's defense, but I definitely think we can get back in the top 4.
Let's look at last weekend's Big 12 games. Kansas lost against TCU 51-14. Oklahoma beat Texas Tech 55-16. Baylor beat Iowa State 23-21. Oklahoma State beat Kansas State 26-13. Any thoughts about those scores?
Business as usual for those teams. Obviously, as the season goes on, you're going to face more hard competition. But nothing really surprising stood out to me this week in the Big 12. Watching it closely, you could see even all the scores around college football. Michigan had a business. Rutgers is really struggling. Alabama took care of business. I felt as though Wisconsin struggled. They only won by 9. But I felt like Wisconsin really struggled. I know they're not a high-powering offensive team, but I felt like they struggled. Auburn took care of business. Obviously, Ohio State, like I said, was really dominant. I was really impressed with Justin Fields. He was terrific. Tua did a good job. Clemson really struggled. Yeah, obviously, I thought business as usual in college football. Teams just taking care of business against teams that they should beat.
Exactly. And, of course, we'll see Oklahoma's biggest biggest test when they face Texas in a few weeks. So we'll see where they will be at. Let's look at the NFL. We got the Eagles beating the Packers last Thursday, 34-27. Your New York Giants are 2-0 with Daniel Jones. How do you feel about that?
I feel like obviously Daniel Jones has been terrific. He's played the Buccaneers and the Redskins. That's the greatest defense in the world. But I've been really impressed with Daniel Jones. I've been really impressed with characteristics of Daniel Jones. I think the traits that typically apply, he's calm, he's poised, he has a good sense of his awareness. So I tend to take away more like traits. We'll see what he does We'll see what he does when he goes against the Vikings defense. We'll see what he does when he goes against more harder competition. But when I see quarterbacks like that, I take away that he's calm, he's self-assured, he's learning the playbook fast. So I was really impressed with him from a trait perspective, how well he commands the huddle, how well he commands the room. So from that standpoint, I was really impressed with him. Obviously, last week he struggled against the Redskins, but for him to still be able to get it done, I felt that they threw Daniel Haskins in a tough situation, Dwayne Haskins, but they threw him in a tough situation while bringing him in, and it was reports that they didn't even have a playbook for him, and obviously he's not starting again this week. So I felt that was a tough situation for him. Daniel Jones just needed to continue to learn. He threw two interceptions, but just continue to learn. Those things are going to happen. Like I said 2 weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, there are going to be some building blocks for him. He's going to experience the rookie highs and the rookie lows. So as long as he continues to win, I mean, you're only one game behind the division. Not saying they're going to do anything because I don't think their defense has faced, you know, really good competition. The defense has been better of late, but it hasn't faced, like, really tough competition. But if they can win some games with Daniel Jones and just show progress going into 2020, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. But if they can just show some confidence in year two, you never know. Jared Goff and Sean McVay did it. You know, a lot of these, you know, coaches, if you, you know, have done it in their year two. So I think that it's definitely possible for them to be able to do it. And switching gears to the Green Bay Packers, I was a little disappointed the Green Bay Packers. Davante Adams went out, and the Packers called four straight passing plays in the red zone. They were 3-for-7. The Packers have really struggled this year against the run. So that's something that we're going to have to get better. Obviously, going against Zeke Elliott and the Cowboys, Dak Martin and Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick, the Cowboys' offensive line. I think we're going to have to get better against the run. I feel like our passing defense was really good. We held Carson Wentz 160 yards passing. Jaire Alexander is a really terrific corner. People don't know about him, but he might make an all-pro. I think he's really a sleeper. I think the Packers secondary is tremendous with Tremont Williams coming back to Green Bay. I feel like Mike Penn has done a tremendous job with that. And I think that Green Bay is switching gears to our offense. I think that Green Bay's offense is still a work in progress. I'm not happy about that we have good first halves, and then it seems like in the second half, there's a struggle with Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur. I feel like in one half, it's Aaron Rodgers ad-libbing, and then the second half, it's LaFleur. So it's still a work in progress in terms of what our offense is going to do. LaFleur wants to run the ball more. Aaron Rodgers is used to passing. So I still think it's going to be time before those two guys mesh so that it could form a better product. But hopefully we see results as we continue to get better in the season. I don't have to see the results now, but like in week 5 to like week 8 and then like week 9, and then if we're fortunate enough to be in a position to win a division or be in a wild card, I definitely think that we definitely are going to want to improve and, you know, improve on the fluidity of our offense.
There you have it. Of course, which NFL rookie is impressing you so far, Kailu?
Which NFL rookie is impressing you so far? Yes. I would have to say Daniel Jones has really impressed me. Because I know there's a lot of good rookies, and I'm obviously from New York, so I'm very familiar with the market. I think Daniel Jones came with a tremendous amount of pressure. A lot of people knocked him. A lot of people knocked the pick. I threw a joke at the pick that the Giants have Daniel Jones, Cowboys have Dak Prescott, the Redskins have Dwayne Haskins, and I threw a joke sort of jabbing at the Giants. I didn't say he wasn't worthy of the Giants, you know, selecting him, but I feel as though you can get him at 17. I didn't go as far as some people did and say he wouldn't be successful because I obviously watched him a little bit given my familiarity with college football. I watched him a bit, and I feel like he was really good, but at 6 over Dwayne Haskins, judging the two quarterbacks, I obviously felt at the time that Haskins is going to be better, and I still think he could be better, but I think right now I think the Washington Redskins are the best. You started him last week against Daniel Jones, and I know it's the Patriots, but you don't get to start a quarterback. You don't get to start a quarterback 1 week and then turn around and bench him against the Patriots. He's going to have to learn. You're either going to throw him in full in. You're either going to throw him in full in and invest in him, or you just don't believe in him because you throw him in 1 week and then he's off the next week. How is a kid supposed to get any confidence considering he struggled already against the Giants? How is he supposed to get any confidence if the next week he's sitting, if he can't just build? He can't build sitting off the bench, except that he's going to be, you know, learning. There's not anyone to learn from in D.C., so I definitely think they killed him with that. Jay Gruden is obviously soon going to be fired, so we're going to be talking about that soon. But around the NFL, there's word that he might get fired. They're facing the Patriots. So that's a stint to be 0-5. And obviously, Jay Gruden's going to heat up. So I think from a standpoint, I think Daniel Jones has been the most impressive rookie because simply expectations were very low for him. And so far, through 2 weeks, he's exceeded the expectations, and he's made Giants fans and the city of New York have a team outside the Yankees. And it's been really great because Sam Darnold's obviously still hurt, and he won't play this week. So I think it's very great having another team in New York that obviously people can root for. And it's about time the Giants, you know, get something good because all you have is Saquon. He was hurt. So you bring in some renewed energy to the city.
There you have it. New York teams, there's some hope. There's some hope now with the Yankees and also possibly football. We'll see if it translates into RJ Barrett and the New York Knicks.
And the Brooklyn Nets as well.
Brooklyn Nets. I forgot about them too. Wow. Yeah, for sure. They're definitely more up to speed a little bit. We'll see with Kyrie and, of course, KD coming back till next season. But I think Kyrie will definitely be a good placeholder for now. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
No.
Let's go college football. UCF at Cincinnati.
I think UCF should win this game. I mean, obviously UCF, last year they wanted to be crowned the champions. UCF is 4-1 this year. They're playing on the road, but I definitely think it's a possible game for them to win.
Oklahoma State at Texas Tech.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. I think that watching Texas Tech last week, they really struggled. I'm definitely going to go Oklahoma State.
Northwestern at Nebraska.
Nebraska should win this game, and they should win this game by a couple touchdowns.
Iowa at Michigan.
I definitely think Michigan should win this game. There's a lot of talks about what Jim Harbaugh's future, and is he overrated? I definitely think he's overrated. I think as a college football coach, he was great in the NFL. He took them very far. He was great with Colin Kaepernick. But as a college football coach, you can't slice it any other way. I know he has an 800 win percent, but he was brought to the program to beat Urban Meyer when he was at the program. The fact is he couldn't beat Ohio State. Ohio State's a really good school. They recruit really well. But Jim Harbaugh was not brought to Michigan to just be 800. He was brought to Ohio State. And I feel like, to be honest, I think he's failed his job because he hasn't been able to beat Ohio State. And I think he's done his team, you know, he's getting paid a lot of money. I don't want to get in his pocket, but he's getting paid a lot of money. He was brought over to be Ohio State, and I think that he's not been able to get them. So I could see him possibly returning back to the NFL soon. But to answer your question, Michigan should win again.
The toughest task. Auburn at Florida.
I think this might be an interesting game. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on this game at 3:30. 7 versus 10 is definitely to see how both teams match up against each other. But I definitely think Auburn is going to win this game on the road. I think Auburn could get it done on the road. Bo Nix is their quarterback. I think he's still showing his freshman thing, but I think Gus Malzahn should be able to get it done this week.
Everyone on the sports cast except Ryan has chosen Auburn, so it's going to be a quiet. it is the biggest match of the weekend, so we'll see what happens. NFL, Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
I think Baltimore should win this game. Mason Rudolph in his first 12 throws last week against the Bengals. 9 of them were to running back. I definitely can see the Ravens really winning this matchup. I think the Ravens, the key's going to be about Lamar Jackson just continue to improve as a thrower. I definitely think that Mason Rudolph Mason Rudolph can't get it done. I think they throw a lot. Juju Smith, everyone wanted to kill a killer bees, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, and it sucks when Antonio Brown did that, and he should never did that. But I definitely think that it's a situation where you miss Le'Veon Bell. Everybody thought talent is easily replaceable because the Patriots do it, but not everybody is the Patriots. You got to know talent wins. And I definitely feel like the Ravens have a lot of talent. They have Mark Andrews, who's really good. He went to OU. Obviously, he went to OU. Hollywood Brown, who's been tremendous for them. I think the Ravens should definitely pull, and I think they should win by more than 2 touchdowns.
Vikings at the Giants.
This one's tough because Kirk Cousins is coming off a really tough game against the Bears. I don't trust Kirk Cousins against winning teams. So I definitely think that I don't trust Kirk Cousins against winning teams. And right now the Giants are 2-2. And Kirk Cousins, if you look at his career, right now the Giants are a little better than the record, but they're 2-2. Kirk Cousins in his career doesn't beat winning teams. Teams over 500, Kirk Cousins doesn't win, I think the Giants steal this one. Kirk Cousins, you can always count on him to make that mistake like he did in Green Bay. I think the Giants should be able to win this game.
Jets at the Eagles.
I think the Eagles win, and I don't think this one's close. Carson Wentz at home in Philadelphia, hostile crowd. Luke Falk is starting. Sam Darnold is going to be out again this week. I can see the Eagles really having a really huge. Sunday. I think it's going to be more than 28 points. I can see it getting ugly, similar to how I see the Patriots and the Redskins. I think both games are going to be ugly. I think it's a time to rack up your fantasy points if you're drafting Brady and Wentz and you have them in a fantasy team. I think it's going to get ugly.
Eagles. And Packers at the Cowboys.
I think this is obviously America's game of the week. Obviously, I'm pulling for my Packers to win. I think one of the keys that we're gonna have to follow is we're gonna have to do a better job at stopping the run. Our pass defense is tremendous, but I feel like we're gonna have to get an attitude playing Deke Elliott and the Cowboys' offensive line. I think we're gonna have to do a good job stopping the run. I think that's gonna be something that we have to do because Aaron Rodgers is not gonna get the ball. They're gonna continue to run the football if we don't be able to stop the run. But I can see this game is going to be really close. A lot of people are going to be watching this game. Both teams are 3-1. The Packers are coming off the game, which they had chances to win the game. They were up 10-0, and that's why it killed me losing that game because Aaron Rodgers coming in the game was 59-0 at home when leading by 10 points at any point in the game. And that killed me because we were 3-7 in the red zone, and we had opportunities even when Devontae Adams went out. I feel like we still had opportunities to win this game, but hopefully this week we're able to bounce back. I can see the Packers win this game. I think it's going to be very close. I think it's going to be a field goal game. I think the Packers win by a field goal.
Packers win by a field goal. It's interesting because that's been the pattern lately. You know, Green Bay's been beating Dallas for the past couple of years. So we'll see what happens this weekend. Let's go baseball. Right now, Atlanta's up 1-0 against St. Louis. How would it turn out at the end?
How would it turn out at the end?
Yeah,
I think Atlanta looks to bounce back. You had the tough loss. I think Atlanta looks to bounce back because, let's face it, you don't want to be down 2-0 in a series, especially you don't want to be down 2-0 in the series. I think you want to make sure you tie the series 1-1 because. The worst is when you're down 2-0. I experienced a lot with the Yankees. You want to make sure that you tie the series at 1-1 because you put a lot of pressure on yourself, especially when you have Dallas Keuchel and Soroka pitching. You want to make sure that you have Dallas Keuchel. Fulton was starting today, but you want to make sure that you're able to tie the series at 1-1. You don't want to feel like you're down 2-0 because the pressure of being down 2-0 in a best of five, if it was a seven-game series, it's a little more attainable to come back. But especially in a five-game series, you don't want to be down 2-0.
Tonight, Minnesota at the Yankees.
I think the Yankees are going to win. I think James Paxton has been great for the Yankees. He's 10-0 as I said start. I think he looks to continue to build on that. The Yankees are at home. Last time we played the Twins, it went obviously really great for my Yankees. I think the Yankees win tonight. I think the Yankees are getting more healthy. I think the Yankees have Edwin back. Gary Sanchez thing. Didi hits well against the AL Central. Giancarlo is going to look to rebound off last year's struggles in which he was great in the wild card game, but he's struggling against the Red Sox. I think the Yankees definitely seize the opportunity because let's face it, the Yankees haven't won a championship in 10 years. In 2017, they came up short in the seventh game against the Astros. They obviously have that sour taste in their mouth. Last year, we got whooped against the Red Sox. We got embarrassed in our ballpark, and I feel like there's still that stain of coming, being almost there but not being quite there yet. And I think this is our year. I think the Yankees more than this year. We've had 30 stints on the IL. And I think it's about time for us to, like, get it done.
And late night West Coast game, Nationals at the Dodgers.
The Dodgers win again. Unfortunately, I just can't trust the Nationals bullpen again. It's just been, as much as I like the Nationals rotation, I said it before, they have three number ones on their staff, but I can never trust the Nationals bullpen, even for an inning. Fernando Rodney is a abysmal. He comes in the game and gives up runs every time, and I hate it because when he was on the Rays, he was really good. I used to hate him shooting the arrow after every victory. It was just something really small. But, like, as much as I want to pick the Nationals to win a game, I think the Dodgers are hold serve at home. I could definitely see the Nationals getting inspired and waking up for Game 3 and possibly sneaking out a victory in Game 3 if their starter's able to go 8 and then they're able to toss it to one of their starters like they did in a wild card game. You can't always do that in the division series and the championship series. But I definitely think they could possibly win a Game 3. And then I think the Dodgers don't want the pressure of having to play in Game 5, so they look to close it out in 4. So I have most of these series going 4, and then in the Braves series going 5.
It feels like the National League is the most predictable with the Dodgers going.
Yes, I definitely agree with that because I think the Dodgers have the easiest role, and I think the Yankees and the Astros, and I also think that the reason why I said before is I'm more scared of the Astros over the Dodgers. It's simply because in the NL, you have the pitcher batting. So most pitchers, they can't hit. So in the AL, you're facing Yordan Alvarez. The Yankees are facing Yordan Alvarez if they go against the Astros, opposed to facing a pitcher, which weakens their lineup. And I also think that the Yankees, because they have the experience of playing in the AL, and you're going against so many great hitters, and the NL, you have to pitch it so much for your pitchers. So I think that takes away a player off your bench. I think the Yankees will have more of a hard time against the Astros, like I said, because the lineups are deeper. And against, you're facing more guys throwing 98. Even though this guy's throwing 90 in the National League, you're facing more tough pitchers like Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, who's each had just Cy Young seasons.
Exactly. And keep in mind, the Major League Baseball playoffs are pretty fast. Like, the World Series, it's in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy because there's a situation in which if the Yankees possibly go to World Series and the Lakers play the same night, opening night, so it could be a great sports night for me.
Los Angeles is also living up the hype as well in sports. Random question, Kailu, who is your favorite Joker? Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, Jerry Leto, or Joaquin Phoenix?
Jack Nicholson. You can never go wrong with Jack Nicholson.
There you have it. Kailu, what is the best way for people to reach you to talk to you about why didn't like the Phillies make it to the playoffs?
They could reach me at Kailu Borden 12 on Twitter, and you could also reach me on Instagram at Kailu Borden 12.
Even in baseball, you can buy the most expensive player but still not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I have to think, yes, you could. Yeah, it's true because like you could buy the most expensive player. And I also think it's not always Bryce Harper's fault. Obviously, the expectations in Philadelphia is enormous with the Eagles winning the championship. So I think I don't think it's always Bryce Harper, but something strikes me about the Philadelphia because I always think that they play more average. They wake up for games that they should, and then they'll have a losing streak to the Marlins, and it's baseball, but you got to find a way to win those series. They wake up thing, and they're more close to the average. I feel like their pitching doesn't stay healthy. They're inconsistent. They're just you know what kills me in sports? Nothing kills me more than just a team that's just average. You're either good, you're good enough to compete. You should be like, you're either good enough to compete, you're either good, great, or just you're not good. You're rebuilding. So they're obviously stuck in the middle because their pitching is inconsistent. Their offense is inconsistent. Their manager, I'm not sure how good he is. He's average as well, Gabe Kapler. So, yeah, that sucks when you're average.
Well, there you have it, folks. We had our baseball talk for the week. And, of course, you can follow us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We got big football games this weekend. We got the Major League Baseball playoffs. We got NBA starts in less than a month. So, you know, like all these sports will be playing along at the same time in this month, actually. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, you can always follow us on Twitter for the latest.
And one thing before we wrap, the Mickey Callaway news. It was very unfortunate that they had to fire him, but he was not Brody's hire. He was not the general manager for them. He was not Brody's hire. So I obviously think that was he was only 2 games over 500 in his his stint there. I think that was very tough that they had to fire him. They could have, I felt like there was not a better way to handle it, but I felt like they was obviously looking to fire him, and they were trying to fire him all year. So they did the guy kind of a disservice. It was reported that they basically told him he was fired at the end of the meeting. They could have been more upfront with him, and I honestly think he didn't have the best roster, but he kind of knew what he signed up when he took the job. Their general manager, Brody, made a screw of bad decisions. Edwin Diaz was awful this year. Robinson Cano, still had 4 years off my deal. Jed Lowry didn't play that much for them, so that really, you know, sucked how they handled that.
There you have it. Kailu, I'm baseballed out. But anyways, we're going to wrap it up right now. Sports just keep going. Kailu, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you.